Welcome, everyone, to another podcast of Modern World Zen. This is Josh Barzell. So last episode, we were talking about the habitual life and how our habits can become compartmentalized. And that as a result of that, we lose something. Because some of the good energy is being redirected away from where we want it. It's being put into these habits. And they can be completely innocuous habits, but nevertheless, or at least seemingly so, right? But nevertheless, they are hurting us. I mean, we know that habituation isn't good. It's not the liberation, right? Habituation isn't liberation. So we know that there's something going to be lost there. In this episode, we're going to be looking at what is referred to as hysteria, which is sort of an outdated term. I think the modern term is histrionic personality disorder. But I'm not a psychiatrist, I'm not a therapist, I'm not a mental health professional at all. So we're going to be looking at the original sort of hysteria that Freud looked at 100 years ago. And the reason is because the psychoanalysis, if we're familiar with it, actually started with these hysterical patients. And they were female patients, but Freud showed that hysteria is also something that a man can have. And this is a little bit deeper than the habituations, because if you are aware of what you're using, say, the hysteria is going to be even deeper than that. So it's a very deep level. And it's important because just like our habituations can shade the meanings of ourselves and other people, so can hysteria. So what is hysteria? Well, I will explain it in the way that Freud came upon it. So there were women in the 1900s, early 1900s, that no one knew what to do with. They sort of were, you know, they were suffering. And they were suffering from symptoms that didn't make any sense to the physicians at that time. And there were physical ailments, but obviously there were mental ailments. And by talking with them, by just talking with them and finding out what it was that might have been too difficult for them in their own life to bring to conscious awareness, things from their past. And, you know, this is the whole field of psychoanalysis. So I can't distill psychoanalysis down to, you know, a couple sentences or a 15-minute episode. But these unconscious constructions came to light. So their ideas were analyzed. First, they came to consciousness, and then they were analyzed. And once they were analyzed, the patients no longer were suffering. And you say, oh, yeah, that's therapy. And it is. But it really started with psychoanalysis that was invented to cure hysteria. So does hysteria still exist? Well, of course it does. And the way that I'm going to describe it is that in hysteria, your whole life becomes sexual and impossible. So you can imagine if you were thinking of sex all the time and wanting sex all the time, life would be a little bit difficult because how would you function? How would you be able to function? Right? And that's what hysteria is, basically. When you pull back the curtain and you allow the unconscious to become conscious, it's an entire life that is basically about sex. And these sexual ideas and impulses are repressed. So it's not so correct to say that the hysteric is repressed sexually, although that is what it is. Because the entire world for the hysteric is sexual. So there's no compartmentalization, if you will. And because of that, a large portion of the hysteric's, if you will, natural impulses, natural sexual impulses, are repressed. And the repression leads to the suffering and the symptomatology, even physical symptoms. So, wow, right? I mean, this is a very deep idea, and obviously something that most people don't walk around thinking that their entire life is about sex, right? So this is a very important thing, and I'm not trained to handle hysteria, but I thought I'd just shed a little bit of light on it because it can be helpful. So that means that we have unconscious sexual desire that has permeated our entire life. Every relationship, everything that we do. And it's impossible to separate anything from it or our life from it. I could say, well, wow. And you can imagine that if it becomes everything, it's almost as if it's nothing. In other words, I have no problem. Sex hasn't become a part of my life in any way. When in fact, this is the hysteric speaking, when in fact, sex is indifferentiable from anything in your life. Even your thoughts come from a sexual desire. And that's why it's been repressed. So when people say, well, you're repressed, yes, but that's not the whole story. So what to do, I guess, is what you're asking. Well, the first thing to do is to become aware that there are parts of your life that you've essentially ascribed sexuality to. Innocuous, something completely benign and even banal, but that's sexual. And you're unaware of it. So that would be the first thing to do, is to say to yourself, well, that might be true, but it's really nonsense because I'm not a psychoanalyst. But that's essentially what it is. And then the second thing to do would be just to look at the sexuality, which is not a great word because I don't know the language very well, but to look at how it's been, your part of your life has been sexualized without you knowing about it, if you will, unconsciously. And it's not that it's become sexualized, it's always been sexualized, but you've never been aware of it. It started in infancy and hasn't changed since then. So that would be the first thing. And then after that, that's pretty much all we can do as long as we keep it conscious. You know, it's not so much that you have a secret crush on your mailman, although that can be what it is, or your barista. It's more than that. It's that you sort of have a secret crush when you're paying your bills or when you're getting dressed or when you're having coffee. In other words, the sexualization has pervaded things that would have absolutely nothing to do with sex. And you know, and I think Freud was criticized for this, but I'm not sure if that's much more than a transference, because he was right. He was clearly right. You know, Freud says, well, it's too sexual. That's not the answer. Well, it is. It's just that no one's aware of it. None of us are aware of what he said. None of us understand what he's saying. Obviously, if you're a psychoanalyst listening to this, you do understand. But for the rest of us, we don't understand what Freud is saying. So the conscious awareness is actually very powerful, and it itself is what cures these conditions and these symptoms. And it's actually what cured the symptoms in the women that Freud started with, right? But so he had to talk to them every day or whatever he did over a period of time to really cure them. Because obviously these things go back into unconsciousness and become repressed because they were too painful to deal with in the first place. So one of the benefits of meditation is that you can actually stay in an uncomfortable place, in an unconscious place, for a period of time and allow the healing to occur. Right? Because if you've now made what's unconscious conscious, it's very difficult for those unconscious desires to cause symptoms. Because by shining a light, we've broken the link between the unconscious ideas and the symptomatology, the suffering. So, you know, when we wrap up, 15 minutes of meditation would actually be really good. And so that's what I urge you to do. And 15 minutes is just the minimum. You know, you should know that by now. And so that's essentially what it is. It's extremely complex. It's extremely difficult to think about. It's extremely difficult to know. And it makes it extremely difficult to cure because of that. However, the cure is actually extremely simple. You just become aware. You just become aware of it. But it's not just about becoming aware of it one time, because it'll be too painful. You'll have to press it and push it back into unconsciousness, which is what you did originally, because it was too painful in childhood, and now it's too painful in adulthood. So with that, I will wrap up and say that even though I'm not a psychoanalyst, you're welcome to remain in a state, if you will, of unconsciousness. Although you're not in a state of unconsciousness, you're in the state of consciousness. But if you can remain as you are, if you've done a little bit of the work that I've suggested on this episode, you're welcome to stay there for 15, 20 minutes, an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, whatever it is you're comfortable in doing. But in a state of meditation, solitary meditation, sitting, eyes closed, right? And just kind of being aware of your inner self, aware of consciousness. And I think that would be very good for you. So that's my recommendation. Although I'm not a psychoanalyst, I do meditate. But I think if we can combine the two, then we can have a really nice meditation because the hysteria is causing us suffering. Right? We can't solve it. We can't fix it unless, we go to a psychoanalyst or we're in treatment, which you might be. But if you are, then you already know what I'm saying, and you're getting the therapy and you can meditate as well. So with that, I will say thank you to everyone who has tuned in. We'll talk again. And this has been Josh Barzell for Modern World Zen.